Shut up and sit down.
Hello, and welcome to episode 54 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast, remember, is solely supported by our patrons. Please help us out at patreon.com/grills. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I am here with my co-host, The Jen.
Hello!
And our very special guest, Justin Robert Young, also known as Jury. He's an avid podcaster.
How are you guys doing?
Welcome.
We're doing good. We're super happy to have you. You're internet infamous?
Yeah, I don't know. I went to a wedding right after Nerdtacular, and a friend of mine was like, "Hey, are you famous?" And I'm like, "No, I'm definitely not famous. But there are people who know who I am, so I don't really. I'm the crappiest level of fame, I guess.
It's internet famous, right?
I've always said, you know, the level of fame I'm looking for is like the bassist from Mudhoney. So I feel like I'm on track.
You know, it's really funny because you and Mike TV are so similar on this, because he basically said pretty much the same thing. He's like, "Yeah, I mean, like." Like, I had a record deal, like, in a song on a really, really popular TV show. But nobody really knows who I am, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But he's, like, so chill.
Exactly.
Yeah, Nerdtacular was a fun mix of famous people. I've since gotten on and played with my, played games with my internet homies. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I went to Nerdtacular." Like, "Oh, my God, you met all those people. You met them." I'm like, "Yeah. Yep. Yep." Those people. They're just people.
People.
Well, we are definitely happy to have you, especially with the Kickstarter that's been kicking some ass. You're on like a million podcasts of your own and others. I was trying to think of the list, and I was like, it's pretty long, and I think Ember put it best when it's like everything from politics to wrestling, which I think needs a question mark.
Yeah, right. I didn't want to be condescending and put a question mark there.
Well, I don't know whether or not politics and wrestling are so far away that they should be the opposite end of the spectrum, you know? But yeah, no, I do, a lot, probably too much, to be honest with the world.
Hey, we can't get enough of you. So there's that.
Stop. You're going to make me blush.
What other geeky things have you been up to this week, Jen?
Oh gosh. So it's been, this little thing called Nerdtacular. So, that was really a lot of fun. It was just okay. No, it was amazing. Got to meet people. I had like two of my weird like emotional moments that I was not expecting. One where I like sat down next to a guy and he's like, "Oh, the Jen." And I'm like, "Yeah, the Jen." And I was like, did you meet Ember?" And she gave you a sticker. And he was like, "Oh, no. I follow you guys. I listen to your show." And I'm like, "Oh, cool." Like, that's a thing that can happen, because we do put this on the internet where people can listen to it, and I forget that sometimes. And then I had one dude who was like, "Hey," I thought he was like waiting to like have a seat at the game I was playing at, and he was like, "Oh, no, I just wanted you to sign my Nerdtacular poster. I listen to your show sometimes." And I was like, "Oh my God, that's like a thing." I was like a little tear. I'm all excited. No, it was really cool and to meet people.
Did you get to sign that guy's rock?
Oh God, the Rocktacular? Everybody's got to sign Rocktacular.
I was apparently the first signature this year.
Yeah, it was a thing apparently for years. The Rocktacular. That's what I've heard.
Yeah,
that's
California Carl, right?
Yep. That's exactly right. It is California Carl. And you know, Diamond Club folk are fun folk. At BlizzCon, I hung out with a lot of Frog Pants people, so it was nice to kind of be in an event where I could hang out with the Diamond Club people, because apparently those are my two internet worlds. Yeah. So it was just like a different side of things. Meeting TV's Egon in person for the first time was fantastic. If you aren't aware, I have been talking mad shit about Phoenix, aka the Butthole of the Sun. And while I am meeting Schwood for the first time, there's some other dudes standing around him. And Schwood's like, well, how far from Vegas are you? And I was like, well, I'm a couple hours south of the Butthole of the Sun. So, I mean, how far is it from Phoenix? And then I look over to the guys next to me, like, oh, hey, we didn't meet. And he's like, I'm TV's Egon. And I'm like, oh, God. Like, can I not shit-talk your town, like, in the 5 seconds before I meet you? That would be great. So that was fun. Aside from Nerdtacular being really awesome, I've been playing the Necromancer on Diablo. Corpse explosions are a thing, and life is good. I have a sub button now as an affiliate, so that's also a thing, which means I have to make emotes, which is terrifying.
That was an amazing Nerdtacular event because, like, we were all Diamond Club drunk. And with Mitsula and Curtis and stuff.
Curtis
and
had the bar.
We found out, and we were watching Dills stream, and Dills was as drunker than we were streaming.
He started singing, right? So Dills sang Sub to the Gen to the tune of We Are the Champions for the entire fucking song, and then encore.
Where was it?
So he was Twitch streaming, and a bunch of us were hanging out in Curtis and Waffle's room because Curtis brought booze. I mean, Curtis didn't bring booze. Nobody brings booze to Snowbird. We decide to stream Dills onto the TV because we're all on our phones on chat, you know, doing like we do, and we're trying to convince Dark Redeemer that he needs to subscribe to Dills with his free money. We're like, dude, you have free money. It's just letting it sit there. You should just give it to Dills.
Being Amazon Prime, for those of you out there who might not know yet.
Oh, yeah. So if you have Prime, you have Jeff Bezos' money to give away, go do that. And so we spend the time trying to figure out how to get him connected to a way to connect his Twitch and his Prime account to then sub. And then as we're talking, Curtis is like, well, yeah, well, you've got a sub button now. And I'm like, fuck you, Curtis. Like, you're a jerk. I'm drunk. And he's like, no, you have a sub button. And I'm like, what? So then I'm trying to figure out how to log in to not myself to figure out if I do, in fact, actually have a sub button. So finally, we determine I do, in fact, have a sub button. We let Dills know. Dills, of course, is like, fan play, goes to it. And then on stream, saying, yeah, sub to the Gen to the tune of We Are the Champions. Made sure he was my first sub. And I have, like, 5.5 minutes of some glorious, drunken entertainment, thanks to me finding out while at Nerdtacular. So it was quite a fun entertainment. I know Dills wasn't at Nerdtacular, so it was a nice way to hang out with him on one of the nights. All of us crazy Diamond Club folk and booze drinking. I did a lot of drinking.
Although I somehow missed War Crushers' party, even though he's the one who saved me and got me the presents on morning stream a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah, Warcrusher. I mean, he's fun. He's fun, dude. So now I have a sub button. It's crazy.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, the affiliate program is really cool. I'm glad they opened it up in that way. But yeah, so I was unprepared. Now I have to make an emote and like call my friend who does like that kind of thing, and I'm like, help me, I need emoticons, I need them, please help me.
Oh no, totally.
So it's good times, but yeah, Nerdtacular was incredible. I think that was obviously the biggest what's been up in the last week, but also a Necromancer on Diablo. Yes.
Have you been doing anything super nerdy since we've seen you at Nerdtacular, Jerry?
Oh, you know, I feel like my entire world is wrapped up in this Kickstarter lately. You know, we're just trying to keep it going. We had a fantastic launch day, and then you know, we kind of hit this black hole of a holiday weekend. So now it's just trying to keep momentum and get everybody excited about it. So working on a video today, and you know, I guess I did see the finale of Doctor Who last night. We did watch that.
Aww, oh, you sweet. You're ahead of me on that. Because I went to see Spider-Man last night for the second time.
Oh, yeah. I guess I saw
Isn't that second time in the same day? Could you clarify?
No. It was okay. Friday and then Saturday.
Oh, okay. Friday, then Saturday.
Got it. And if you look at my Facebook page, I have this really great shot. Maybe I'll put it on the Grills page of Spider-Man, because I also went to Comic-Con, my tiny little dinky Statesville Comic-Con that we have, and Spider-Man was up climbing around on the Civic Center roof. I'm pretty sure my picture is going to be, and other people's pictures. I don't see that happening at the next one. I think the city was not technically allowing this to happen.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But it is a really fucking great shot.
Good.
And I like the movie. Totally good with that, obviously, because I went again.
Yeah, that kid is really endearing. I just rewatched Civil War, yesterday, actually. Yeah. I was like, I need to watch something that I have seen before, and I'm just, again, antibiotics are fucking weird, man. Drunken weekend, come home, miss like 3 days of work, go to work yesterday, life was confusing. So I was like, I'm just gonna watch something I've seen before, and all I kept thinking is, God, this kid is fucking endearing. So I gotta go see it. I'll probably enjoy it.
I saw him on Ellen, and it was like, oh, I didn't know he had this very strong accent.
Really?
Yeah.
I
guess he played, was it Billy Elliot in the, London version, the live show, the Broadway show?
Oh, cool. Well, she showed footage of him doing some kind of dance routine, and it looked like he was wearing a corset, and he was doing all these impressive acrobatics, and it made me wonder if he does a lot of his own stunts. I'll have to find that footage. It was what is going on?
That big Rihanna thing that went viral for the lip sync.
Yeah. I had never seen it before.
Oh, yeah. Because all I remember is there's two or three of them that I watched, and I'm just like, those are so good. Again, Jen likes drag queens. Jen likes lip syncing. Lip sync battle, which is really funny because now RuPaul's Drag Race did a lip sync battle for the last episode of this season that just ended, and everybody's like, did RuPaul Charles rip off epic lip sync battle? And I'm like, no, he did not. In fact, lip sync battles have been a thing for a long time in the drag community. But anyway, Joseph Gordon-Levitt doing, I think he did Janet Jackson or Paula Abdul, I can't remember which, but it was badass. And then, yeah, he did, I do remember now, he did do the Rihanna setup. He did the, what is it, Umbrella, right?
I think, yeah.
It's so good.
I gotta look this stuff up.
I've got a link. Don't worry, I have a link for you, and then that way you can.
I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt too.
No, I have that one too. Have watched it a couple times.
That's one of the celebrities my husband calls my boyfriend.
I think it was the right age to have a crush on him when he was on Third Rock for the Sun, so I blame it on that.
It would have been wildly inappropriate for me.
I know, but as I'm just saying, for me, I was at the right age.
Now, anyway, I think it's time for the Geek Grapevine. So, first story, Jen. I found you a spill.
I love road spill stories. Okay, so, Jerry, this is a thing. I have discovered the glory that is road spill stories, and pretty much, that's my entire... It's my favorite genre of news.
Road spills?
Yeah, road spills. So pretty much people now find them for me and send them to me, or Ember finds them for me and sends them to me. So let's see here. This one is Eagle Mountain reopens after tanker truck rollover. Okay, let's see. So a tanker truck rollover forced a closure. A tanker truck spilled 2,800 gallons of road sealant. Holy
yes!
crap! Holy
Irony.
Crap! This is in Utah. Oh my God.
That is...
And it's in Utah. This is silly. This is silly.
That's like the best.
Too. This is July 5th.
Yeah.
Like, I left Utah, and then there's a road tanker that spills road sealant onto the highway. That makes sense. That's fantastic. That's a good one.
Right?
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
The crew had to be like, well, we'll just spread it around.
Yeah, right? Look, it's conveniently exactly where we didn't need it. That's a good one. I still don't think it meets honey and bees on fire, but it's still close.
Oh my God, we're never going to beat that.
I know, we're never going to beat the honey and bees on fire. That's pretty much the scariest thing that can spill onto a road. Holy crap, that's crazy. And it was in Utah. Like, I think the fact that I was just in Utah, this is in Utah, humors me the most, too.
It was like the only recent one that came up right away, and I was like, oh, and we were right there.
Oh my God, the pictures are nuts. All right, we'll share those pictures. Those are good. Pictures will be in the notes, guys. That's a good one. Good road sealant. Ugh. All right. Your obsession now.
Yes, yes. Well, me and the Pokemon Go. At least I'm not the only one. That was another Nerdtacular fun. Taking down gyms with Brian Ibbett and stuff. Although, he's Valor and I'm Mystic, so that rivalry was like all through Nerdtacular. I'm on the Discord.
Whatever. We held down that Mystic, gym all weekend.
Where are you? Well, it was very similar to my town. Like, at overnight, Valor people would take everything, and then Mystic takes it all back during the day. I don't know what the deal is. But Instinct was nowhere to be found. But anyway.
Schedules.
Yeah. Well, we joke around here. It's like, man, Valor's just, they just apparently don't have any lives. They just stay up all night.
They stay all night playing Pokemon, and then in the morning, when, like, the adults wake up at a decent hour, they're all Mystic, and then everything goes back to blue. That's fantastic.
But anyway, there is a Pokemon Go special event celebrating the anniversary going on. It runs through July 24th at 1 p.m. Pacific. I caught yesterday one of the special Pikachus that's out. It's wearing Ash's hat. I did find out. Yeah. It's cute. Actually my first female Pikachu. So anyway, that happened. But the new gym battle features are really great. I'm loving those. There's not a lot else going on with the special event. I mean, I'm not going to go to Chicago for live stuff. That's like crazy. But there are stuff marked down in the stores, which is handy, including raid passes. And the gym raids, if you haven't tried them, are fun. If you haven't caught on yet, to get your raid pass daily, you have to go spin a gym, because you can now spin gyms like you could always spin the Pokestops.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there was so much to learn. Thanks to you getting me back into it. I have been running around and pulling my phone out. But I will say that the location sensing, I don't know what happened to it, but it seems like it's kind of crappy. Because, like, I will be right, like, I'm at the gym. Like, I'm here. I'm in it. Like, I can see the parking spaces. And it's like, nope, you need to walk closer to that gym. And I'm like, what? Why? And I felt like that wasn't an issue before, so I don't know what's causing that. So I hope that that's just something that will work itself out, because it doesn't make me sad.
I have, throughout the game's history, I've had that problem on and off. It seems it's just GPS, because it's weather dependent. When there's like a heavy system, when it's really cloudy, it's not as accurate. And that
here. I live in Tucson.
Well, yeah. So whatever interferes with your satellites,
that would
the
be
aliens,
the sun, the lack of interference. No, I'm just kidding. Jury's here, so I feel like I need to tout Tucson to make sure everybody knows how awesome Tucson is. I just hate that nobody will visit here. Everybody thinks it sucks. It's awesome. So I have kind of a downer story. I know, Stan Lee and David Cronenberg, they both lost their spouses. It's really sad. So Stanley's wife of 69 years, Joan Lee, she passed away on Thursday. So it's super sad. Now, granted, she was 93, but I don't know. I'm worried. I'm very worried because, you know, he stopped doing Comic-Con appearances, and then when his wife passed, you know, there's that worry that, like, you know, is he going to be... I don't even want to say it.
I'll tell you this. Like, I don't do near as many Comic-Con appearances as Stan Lee does, and it's taxing for me as a reasonably...
No, it's true.
...old man. So, like...
that's true.
I salute to him for being out there on the trail for as long as he was, and obviously, you know, condolences on the loss of his wife.
Yeah, it's super sad. Like, 69 years old, that's crazy. That is a long marriage. Like, holy cow. It's really friggin' impressive. So, that's, you know, really too bad for him. And also David Cronenberg, who also lost his spouse as well. That's also too bad. I know she was only 66. And I know that was a while back, but the news just became public. It happened in June. But they kept it kind of under wraps for a little while. But, yeah, so condolences to both of them on that. That's hard.
Actually, you bring that up, it does occur to me. I do want to also pay tribute to someone, another actor we lost, and he was only 39, is Nelson Ellis. And I feel like we really, really need to mention that because that wonderful character... And that actor we had got so much joy out of in True Blood helped us name an episode.
What? No. How did I not hear about this?
So today we call everyone hookah, right?
Yeah. I mean, who ordered the burger with AIDS, man?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I never really watched that show, but certainly he was somebody that, you know, through the clips that I did see were awesome, and he's well-remembered.
Yeah, he always had just, like, those spots that were bigger than... He was one of those actors where his spots were always just simple roles, but he made them so much bigger. Like, even, like, The Help, when he plays Henry in The Help, you know? Like, but you remember him from that diner scene, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He always had those spots. God, that's rough. I didn't even know about this. Did we hear what happened?
The cause of death was listed as heart failure last I saw.
That's no bueno. Man, he was an Illinois State University alum. I know one of my friends who went to ISU was all about him. Oh, man, that's a bummer. Oh, rough.
I'm sorry.
This week has been really rough, okay? I mean, if we're going to really go down the downer trail, I'm going to mention it now because I was going to mention it before. I'm going to include a link, but the Dillionaires did lose Caitlin O'Hara, a.k.a. Thundercat. Yeah. This is somebody that I used to play fun rounds of Hearthstone with. I know Magooch and Thralemon played with her a lot more. But we used to do really fun, just like hangouts in Discord playing Hearthstone. So she passed away unexpectedly last week. And just condolences to her family. She was out of the country. She was in Canada when it happened. So it's been a real challenge for her sister. So I will put a link in the show notes to the GoFundMe, so please go help support. It was really just too sad. She's too young. She's only 29, so it's never chill when that's the case. And it's hard when it's your internet homies that you expect that you're going to log on Discord and they're just going to be there. Because like right before Nertacular, she was there, and now she's not. So it's rough. Oh God, this is a rough week.
Awkward, weird. Trying to explain to my husband why this big giant. Gorgeous Thundercats print at the Comic-Con yesterday made me sad.
Right? I know. Like, I just went into the Discord yesterday, and, like, the last notes were her, like, being like, is my voice clear now? And then, trying to think about what kind of kitten is that I ended up at my house. But, yeah, rough. Rough week. Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to talk about Hearthstone. Let's talk about games.
So, speaking of Hearthstone, Knights of the Frozen Throne expansion. So when they put out adventures, the first thing I thought of after playing the Naxxramas adventure was, oh my god, they nailed what it felt like to raid Naxxramas. And so I have wanted Wrath of the Lich King raids because they just nailed those raid encounters. Like, it felt like you were in them, and they were really fun. So I've been wanting Frozen Throne for a long time, so this is really exciting. Now, of course, we don't have adventures anymore. We have only expansions, but the expansion's going to add 135 new cards. But what is cool is there is going to be an adventure component to it. So there are actually going to be two wings of three boss fights each of single-player content with a prologue and a final boss fight. So that's actually pretty cool. It's a way for you to earn a free card pack, and I think you get three card packs total.
Right?
Yeah. That's right. I think there is also, you win a random... I think you get the three Frozen Throne card packs if you do each of them. And then I think, like you said, when you finish it all, you do get a random Frozen Throne legendary. But I think it's one of the Death Knight legendaries. Yeah. So here's what's really cool, is that the two new mechanics that they're adding is the Death Knight version of each hero. So it's a legendary card that turns you into the Death Knight version of the hero, and then gives you some extra, like, awesome powers.
Yeah, I feel like when I was on the Angry Chicken at Nerdtacular, I feel like we kind of got close to this idea, but we thought that this was a really, really cool concept, and I'm glad that we were, you know, sniffing around the right area.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This was like... I was like the one panel I didn't watch in Nerdtacular. I'm pretty sure I was recuperating somewhere at that point. That's when I realized that margaritas for lunch 2 days in a row is not ideal, and that you do actually need to eat when you're at that level of elevation. Food is actually necessary to survive it.
I got the jalapeno mango one, so it had juice in it, and it totally was great.
I was like, margaritas have food value, right? So the other thing they're adding is lifesteal, which I'm pretty excited about. They've been hinting at this for a long time, where, you know, when a creature does damage, it heals back the hero for as much damage as it dealt. This is going to be gross. This is going to be fun. I'm pretty freaking excited. So, that's going to be fun.
With the expansion, the new rules for getting legendaries apply as well, right?
Yes, so that we won't have the Curse of Gen happen anymore. Just to recount, that was opening 68 packs on Goro, getting four legendaries. One of them was the Hunter legendary creature, and then the other three were the Rogue Quest. So that was sad. And then recently, I bought six packs, and I opened the Warrior Quest Legendary, which I already owned. So I cannot wait for these new rules, because RNGesus and I are not on the same page when it comes to my legendary chances in Hearthstone. And it really just makes me bitter to spend that kind of money on packs and be like, what the fuck, guys? And of course I'm streaming it, so I'm trying not to be like super salty. Like, oh god, thanks Blizzard.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that I think it's smart for them to, specifically on launch, when everybody's got their eyeballs on it, to just not make the conversation about bad shit, you know?
Well, I think they've always been about, like, make it feel good, right? Freeze Mage made everybody sad face, we made some adjustments, right? To make it so that some of those cards cost a little bit more, or did one less damage on Blizzard, things like that. Because again, it's all about, like, if it just feels bad, then it's just not what Hearthstone's about. And like the OTK, the one turn kill decks, those get nerfed, you know. And I think that's the best thing. When you have a digital card game where you can control shit like that, then fucking control shit like that. I mean, yeah, great, do it, love it.
Well, again, I think that there's a difference between controlling gameplay and controlling like how many legendaries you get, right?
Oh yeah, that's true. But I mean, you do also have to have like... There's that part of me that does get, like, a little bit, like, the house always wins. Vegas, and they have the packs set up.
Blizzard's definitely in a situation where they can afford to just build the best game, you know?
Totally.
I didn't really have to worry about, you know, Hearthstone's not going to go. Hearthstone could be a complete dumpster fire for years before Blizzard, you know, would have to do something about it because it's a part of a larger structure, right? Which is now part of a larger structure as Blizzard is no longer an independent company. But, like, I think it is part of the reason why they are as popular as they are is because they do understand that, like, if the fans, even if it can be a little, you know, it's illogical, right, to be like, oh, well, I didn't get enough legendaries when I bought a bunch of packs. It's like, yeah, well, that's kind of the game, right? You know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but I think they understand. Nah, let's rig it a little bit more for the players.
Well, especially when it's a free game, so that's where the money comes from, is when they buy packs, and that has to be a good experience. And they've done an amazing job with, like, when you open the pack, how that feels, the animation, and the woo, and, you know.
And then it tells all your friends that you opened a legendary, and then all of a sudden you get all the, oh man, grats, man, yeah, woo. And, like, I love that part. That part,
yeah, and maybe really since happening. Adding that, that might have been the thing that pushed this change finally happening, where you can't just open the same legendary again and again, because getting those grats would be, like, insult to injury.
Yeah, it was. It was really funny when actually people started messaging me, like, didn't you just open that legend? Yes, I did.
Meh.
Womp, womp. But no, I'm excited. I think they're on the right track. I think going back to Wrath of the Lich King, which is one of the, like, that's the one thing about Hearthstone that people have to remember, like, a huge portion of the people that play this game, too, are the people that don't have time to play WoW anymore, and this is a huge nostalgia bone for them. And going back to the most beloved expansion, Wrath of the Lich King, is so smart. Like, that's just, we wanted it, we got it. I feel satisfied. It was something I really wanted. I was stoked about dinosaurs. I loved Un'Goro. That was cool. But this is one that I've wanted for a long time. So I'm glad we're getting it, because just some of that. And that they're giving the adventure mode. Because literally when they said they weren't going to do adventure mode, the first thing I thought was, shit, now I'm never going to get my damn, like, raid, like, Wrath of the Lich King raid experiences in Hearthstone, but now it looks like I might, so that's awesome.
And I'm not giving up on Return of the Lich King is still another URL that's not being used for this, so I'm not giving up on having another WoW story with Bolivar, so just saying. So,
oh, it's true.
Again, thanks for coming, Jury. Let's talk about you and what's going on. I've been really excited to see your Kickstarter kicking ass, being right there in the audience and pushing the buttons to sign up myself and, like, watch it just get funded. So you said you're having a slump now, and the first thing I thought of was the little lecture that Kickstarter tried to give you, saying,
oh, yeah,
go through that on a holiday weekend.
Well, you know, we were really in kind of a catch-22, and obviously, you know, I said that on stage at Nerdtacular, which, for those of you who were not there, effectively, Kickstarter told us, don't launch when we're going to launch, which was the Friday before an extended July 4th weekend, of which many people take off Friday. You know, obviously, you get Saturday, Sunday off. If you take off Monday, then you box yourself up a pretty little 5-day weekend in the middle of the summer, which is really, really good. So,
which normally would make sense and be great advice.
Yeah, and for a bunch of people that were obviously taking off of work, since we were all at a con at the same time, it's something that a bunch of people did. So we kind of had we were in a rock and a hard place, because on one hand, it's like, what do we do? Do we launch? We certainly couldn't launch before Nerdtacular, because we were kind of up against it as we were. That ultimately might have been the best thing, but even then, we're going to swallow that, you know, that 5-day break one way or another. So it's not like we can get around it, and we really can't launch afterward, because, you know, Nerdtacular is such a unique place, and to immediately have a fair amount of, like, you know, the 700 or 800 people that came through live be there for me to, you know, lecture them and hand them stickers and buttons until they back. Like, that's really just something that we can't give up. You know, I can't just do that and hand out save the dates. So You know,
being able to, like you said, hand out the swag, like, live, and then all of us having, like, stickers on our badges and buttons on our lanyards and having all of that where we're, like, going around and, like, strong-arming our friends to, I mean, encouraging them to support.
Yeah. You know, it really is just such an amazing experience to be around everybody, and I wouldn't give it up for the world. So, you know, we hit that little dark side of the moon, but you know, we have good hopes for this week with a couple things hopefully coming through.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think people are getting back to their computers, like you said, after this weekend, after, like, okay, we came back to work, back to our computers, and I've definitely seen some swing happening in the last few days, so I'm sure that's where we're going to see more, and I hope so, because I want as many cards as possible.
I am super excited for the stretch goals, and the stretch goals in this case, for our listeners, are based on the number of people that support, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, it's not money-based. It is all on backers. So the best thing that you can do if you've already pledged and you want what you pledge for to be as robust and large as possible is to tell your friends, post on social media and on Twitter and call your mom and your dad and your aunt and your uncle and say, hey, look, this is the game of 2017, and you want to be a part of it.
I got to watch some gameplay, and I am so freaking excited. I am going to love playing this game. and I liked, I signed up the Legacy level because I kept wanting to buy the contender and not getting my budget and then waiting. I never got it. So now I get to get both games.
Oh yeah.
Because, I don't know if you know, but I'm a real politics nerd. Like, I was an Obama delegate twice.
Oh, wow.
I'm secretary of the LGBT caucus for North Carolina Democrats. I helped start that caucus. I was, until recently, like, on my county board, on the state executive committee for North Carolina. Like, yeah, I'm a little been doing the politics a while. And I just am kind of quitting. And I think that may be lent to, like, I lost a lot of people in my life. Like, I kept a handful of people I met through that, but I want to be more creative and concentrate on that part of my life. So this is a game I will go play with all my politics nerds.
You guys will love it the most. You know, I am very much a politics nerd, obviously. And, you know, I would say contender, we put a lot of time and effort, you know, but into Action News, but that's more of the history nerd part. The contender is just, if you look at the sheer amount of quotes that we found, we wound up creating by accident the largest vetted database for presidential and presidential candidate quotes in
that's epic
contender, just because, you know, there's a lot of great quote resources. A lot of them are user generated, but none of them are really vetted. And the more we tried to use them, the more we realized how inaccurate they were, not only in the quotes themselves, but also in the attributions. So, you know, we found sources for everything, and you guys will really, really like it, because there's some great Action News.
I look forward. I think I can. Like, I have a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old, and for them, there seemed to be, like, so much historical news that I actually remember, but I haven't, they don't want to sit and listen to me explain what it was like to be there for when the Berlin Wall came down. But this could be a fun way to introduce the conversation, creating a crazy news story, if you want to explain to people how the game works.
Yeah.
But it'll bring the conversation up, right?
Oh, certainly. I mean, this there will be for the younger kids, you know, there will be a plenty of explanations of who David Hasselhoff is.
Wait, you mean that actually happened, Mom?
Yes, but David Hasselhoff was not there. Actually, my kids know because they're internet nerds, and the Hoff is such an iconic meme lord.
But yeah, no. So we. We got pretty much throughout the entire history of this is Action News now. The entire history of broadcast television, we've got news stories from throughout you know, from the moon landing to, you know, Gawker going bankrupt. It is all represented.
And one of the things I loved that you guys did with the Contender was the add-ons. And I mean, God, of course, there's tons of content here and opportunity for more content with the stretch goals. Is that something that we're hoping to see with the Action News as well? Some opportunities for some add-on packs and creative opportunities there going forward?
No, without a doubt. We already have a lot of really, really fun ideas for that. And what we really found with the Contender was people really, really, really like these kind of more rapid expansions, you know? Like, yeah. I think traditional.
Smaller, more often.
Yeah, the traditional model for these kind of things are to wait until you have 100, 200 cards to kind of add on to it. And we did that a couple times, but really what we found resonated was these 10, 11 card expansions.
Oh my gosh, every single one of the debate packs, it made my life. I mean, I was a politics major in my bachelor's, so I'm also a little bit of a politics nerd, and just being able to... election season is like my, like debates are like my Super Bowl. Like people like watch the Super Bowl. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing when they play football once a year. That's cool. I'm like I get into that stuff. And so to have some cards to highlight some of the chaos of that entire election, one, it helps salve it a little bit, but two, they're really fun. They're just really fun little additions. And it was nice to be able to be like, oh, I'm going to pick up a couple of those. And it just felt like it was easy to add them to my deck and add them to my Contender box and make my game even a little bit more entertaining.
Oh my God. I just thought of a great party idea. Sorry. I was like, I have all my lists, right? You know, cause you have your lists and your clipboards. And I was like, the last people I had we had an actual debate watch party, in a local pub. And the guy, the owner, Marty, was really awesome. He brought a TV into a separate room and was letting us watch it. It was a bunch of Democrats. So somebody came over and started giving us shit, and he kicked him out of the pub. It would be really cool to just invite those people to come play the Contender in the pub.
You know, that was the coolest thing in the Contender experience for me was going to Iowa, New Hampshire, right before the caucus and the first primary.
Oh, yeah.
And we did these bar events, and we would have people that were like canvassing for all the different candidates, and they all vehemently disagreed, and they all kind of you know would knife each other in the street if it meant their candidate getting an edge, and yet to play the game they could all bond on something that they have in common that they don't have in common with the rest of the world, which is that they're nerds, they're politics nerds, they know. You know, a quote from you know General Stockdale, like.
And the only way to keep surviving in that intense political environment, I mean, sometimes you got to take a step back and just shake your head at the absurdity of it all, and like, I think that game's a great opportunity to do that and bond.
Yeah, you know, I have to ask. You know, there's so many different ways that you can do a game format. What made you guys decide that like a card game was the right way to go? Because obviously that spawned the Contender and then now Action News. What was it that brought you to, you know, a card game?
You know, I think that was initially just John and I. John had done a card game called Stranger Danger, and then on a lark, like me and him just like jammed in a 24-hour window another game called Who Does Nobody Like, it just seemed like a thing that we wanted to kind of give a proper shot, and that was the Contender.
Yeah, one of the things I really like is the gameplay, and so I didn't get to play Action News, but it does seem like from what I can put together, it does seem similar-ish. And one of the things I like about it is it's not... I think we all have played Cards Against Humanity, and we have to mention it when we're talking about card games, because
sure, yeah.
Party card games, that's what everybody thinks of. But, you know, how many times is it like, I'm going to play Bigger, Blacker, Dick, and we're all going to laugh, and we're going to make half the people at the table feel uncomfortable. It's nice to have an adult card game that you can play that is, it forces you to be creative, yeah. And I like that. But the gameplay on it, you know, is it hard? I mean, it seems pretty straightforward, I would think.
I was watching some play, and I remember, and I heard Justin talking about how they had this idea for an improv game, and actually, I did talk about Action News on Part-Time Gamers the other day when we recorded, and it's like the idea of, I compared it to Snake Oil, in that having that improv quality where you're combining things and then you have to convince everyone else, right? You have to do a presentation. But you had said, and I completely agree, that being given all the elements and you put the puzzle together and then you do your presentation is much more widely winnable by people who aren't just the loudest or the most extroverted is going to always win in something like, you know, Snake Oil, and you have the pressure of being super creative. The way you're putting together a puzzle to create your news story in Action News, I think, is a brilliant solution.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It is something that we spend a lot of time with, and we feel very, very kind of protective, I guess, and proud of the kind of conversational mechanic that we set up with the contender. And what our goal with that was to really not make it stop and starty, you know, that once you get the hang of the contender, it is kind of you arguing in real time with your friends, and Action News is obviously a little bit more segmented, but we feel kind of takes that idea to the next level and really, really, really makes the game about building the best possible and funniest possible thing, which is why it's timed, unlike the contender, so you have that like deadline pressure.
I like that. I think that the pressure creates creativity for a lot of people, and like that's how I've always been. I always feel like I'm more creative when I'm like on the spot than I would be if I was just like, come up with a funny thing. You have as much time as you'd like. it never comes out well.
Is the app idea a secret?
Well, it wouldn't be now, right?
Well, I didn't say what it is or what it's going to do. Just saying.
Or that it even exists.
Well, it does.
It's big question marks on the stretch goal. Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
It doesn't exist now. It is something that we are looking to do as a stretch goal is because there is a timing element. And right now we're just asking people to do it on their phones.
So it's still just an idea.
Slightly more than an idea, but certainly something that we are excited to have the opportunity to do should it become fiscally viable.
So go back this shit, people. No, I know we'll say it like a million more times, but just to make it easy, actionnewsgame.com is the best link as far as I'm aware to
I mean, you can go to Kickstarter and search for Action News, but in general, actionnewsgame.com, apply directly to the forehead.
Awesome. And then you know, your commitment to this game is astounding. The fact that you would put your marriage in jeopardy even.
Wait, what? I missed that. Is it really just the mustache and the costume?
Yeah, it is actually just the mustache.
Like it at all. And she's counting the days. Although I don't know what.
Jury once had a glorious beard. Now he has an awkward, rapey mustache.
It always goes to sexual assault with the mustache. I don't know why, man.
I don't know why either.
Porn stash.
Yeah, it is a little bit of the porn stash, maybe.
Liam
I have
Mason
to
is the only one pulling that shit off these days.
I have to say, one of my favorite moments from Nerdtacular is the opening ceremony, and Scott Johnson is calling each of the producers up, and then here comes Jury, donning a suit, his 70s, the whole 70s news anchor getup, a la Ron Burgundy. And he pulls out the most ridiculous fucking news microphone I've ever seen. And then not only does he pull the microphone out, he plugs it in and it works. That was the best. I was cracking up. It was definitely one of those iconic moments that all of us at Nerdtacular were like, Jury in that fucking microphone.
Oh, thank you.
Where did you get that thing?
I ran back to the room. I had forgotten it, and I ran back to the room to get it.
Worth it.
That's part of our setup. And in fact, we're going to be doing some more live streams from the set of Action News starting this week.
Cool.
And
that's really awesome.
Be a part of it.
Yeah, the videos have been cracking me up. It's Meg, right? Who's the brunette? Yeah,
Meg Paradise.
She is Guts and Glory.
Oh god,
her eye contact in the videos that I've seen so far. It's just great. It's so fun. Like, you know what? It's just nice to have something fun and lighthearted. Like, honestly,
yeah.
There's so much like. And it's funny because we're handling it with like a topic that's so like news is so it makes everybody bitter. I mean, I had to recently visit with my grandparents who watch Fox News all day.
Yeah.
And that's hard to be like, you used to be intelligent people that I enjoyed spending time with, and now you listen to Fox News all day. And after like watching some of those anchors, this is like a nice outlet for me to be like, oh. News. Let's talk about the history of it and the fun side of it. And there's a dog driving a boat.
Because he thinks he's people.
Oh my gosh. Well, what else about Action News do you want the people to know about? What have we not touched on that you think is?
I think it is important special. To know that this is family friendly. So just to hammer that in, the base deck is family friendly. We do have an ability for everybody to upgrade to a viewer discretion advised pack. So that'll be like our blue cards were for the contender. Those will be all the curse words and the naughty stories and everything that we would have to cut, but that we did cut from the game to make them family friendly. If you like the contender, fear not. We also have a crossover. So you'll be able to play a round of the contender and then cover it on Action News, which is something we are very, very excited about and really want to get into people's hands. So go ahead.
I'm glad you mentioned the family-friendly aspect. I think that's really cool. Anytime we can get the youngins into the games, like, that always makes me happy to not have to shy away from it, keep it on my shelf, you know? And then maybe hide the viewer discretion deck.
Yeah, you know, that's something that we've had a lot of great feedback on is that number one, Contender has been really, really, really well received with a lot of teachers, which is something that makes me very happy personally, because I had, you know, a lot of my love for politics and history came from, you know, public high school teachers and middle school teachers that I, you know, had in the great state of Florida. So I love that's being well received there, and we really want this to be the same way, specifically for history and American history teachers. Although we do have some international stuff in there,
I can totally see this at my son's school. I have an eighth grader and a ninth grader next year, and one of them started a D&D club. But I mean, other games that could be introduced during class, and they have theater, for instance. And this would be a really, at the charter school my youngest goes to, they do these, they keep the curriculum so that, like, they're covering the same thing in one class as another a lot of the times.
Yeah.
And it would be really neat to have, you know, the theater class be playing this kind of game and practicing an introduction to improv at the same time, you know, they're covering some of the historical content in social studies.
Yeah. You know, it is it's something that really does matter to me, and it was a happy accident with the contender, and it's something that we've tried to kind of steer more toward with Action News. But everybody, go ahead and check it out. You know, we're gonna be releasing a lot more content over the week. We got a new video coming out that's kind of more a deep dive into kind of the finer points of the game mechanics, because as silly and as lighthearted and as fun as our video was, which, by the way, Meg, if you loved Meg's performance in the video, also recognize that she edited that entire thing almost single-handedly. So,
oh my God.
She is just an absolute powerhouse, and I words cannot describe my appreciation and admiration for both Meg and Fawn. They are fantastic partners. But
yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, you know, go check it out. As much as that video is great and it's lighthearted, it doesn't exactly give you
a sense for the gameplay yet.
Yeah, a great feel for the gameplay. So we're going to be releasing a video on that hopefully tomorrow or the next day.
I'm excited to share that too with you know, my local game store, and you know, those guys. I forced the contender upon them. I make it sound like it was like a bad thing. They actually really enjoyed it, but they hadn't heard of it. So I was like, hey, check this out, it's really cool. And you know, I bring my deck down there, my game down there, and I just want to be able to do some of the same, be like, oh well, you know, if you like that, check this out. So it'll be good to have some of that gameplay action to share. And I know everybody who played it at Nerdtacular said great things. So, I'm excited to see the content as it comes out. I think I think it's a really cool project, and I'm glad you touched on the education part, because that part is, I'm such a nerd. I love learning, and like, the contender, that was part of the fun part, was he didn't really say that. Oh, my God, he did say that. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, really?
Well, that Comrades and Patriots that I was trying to, we never
had
to
deal with. Oh, man, that game's fun.
That was something where the first time I played that, I was playtesting it at NC State, and you get to play different dictators, and there was like a college student that said, who's Che Guevara? And it made me so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, any game where you can trade people for actions too, you know, that's always good.
No, absolutely.
All right. Well, nine. So
the other thing I learned something new about Jury earlier today.
What's that?
You went to Syracuse.
I did.
I'm from Buffalo.
Oh, so Western New York, some roast on Weck.
Yep. Oh, man. I get so homesick for the damn beef on Weck. I tell you, there's one place around here. Like, there were some people from Buffalo that moved down, and they call it Taste of Buffalo, and they make the beef on Weck, and they had to, like, solicit a baker to make the damn rolls right. I don't know what Southern people not being able to make a crusty roll. No, we can't do it.
No, yeah. It's, I have tremendous fondness for upstate in general, specifically this time of year. This time of year is always so gorgeous in upstate New York, which makes up for the fact that it is just garbage from, you know, October to April.
So we'll have to figure that out. Like, next time I see you somewhere in the country, we'll make some diner create a garbage plate or something.
Oh, yeah. No. I love my time in upstate. And I was just up there this year, too, in March. I was up there for a little alumni event at the newspaper I worked at.
Oh, cool. Yeah, my sister was in a 3-2 with Brockport and Syracuse, but she didn't finish it, so she's not really an alum.
Well, don't worry. Many of the people that were this was for the newspaper, not for the college. There are plenty of people that never graduated that worked at the newspaper and have done very well for the
paper. I raised my hand. Well, now that you've been well marinated, I think it's time you get some grilling.
Yes, so in the grand tradition of the Geek Grills, now that we've marinated you for over an hour, it is now time for us to grill you. So I'm going to shoot out some rapid-fire questions. First thought that comes to your head, that's your answer, and here we go. We're going to start easy. What is your favorite color?
Black.
Oh, God. If you could meet anyone living or dead, who would you want to meet?
Thomas Jefferson.
That's a good answer. If you could choose to stay a certain age forever, what age would it be?
I don't know, when I'm like 78 and the singularity becomes a reality. That is.
What is the first thing you remember buying with your own money?
Oh, geez. Probably candy from, you know, one of those black market now and later dealers
We didn't grow up in Florida. We don't understand how that works.
Wait, you didn't sell candy in your school? You didn't have any enterprising young kids?
Oh, you know what? There was. They would used to sell the Warheads, and then they would make a deal if you could put, like, more than, like, five of them in your mouth at the same time and then survive it. They would give you, like, one for free. I do actually kind of have vague memories now.
They didn't do this in Catholic school, just saying.
It's a weird conversation. The worst gift you ever remember receiving?
Oh, crap. Man, worst is actually a fairly boring conversation because, like, you know, when you're in offices and everything, it's just like, how many Starbucks gift certificates can you get? Man, I don't know. I don't have...
How about the worst one you gave, then? Is there one that's like... You remember giving just a gift and you were like, oh God, this is terrible.
No, but I, you know, this is something that kind of comes up a lot because, you know, I've done well at like the Frog Pants All-Stars trivia and just trivia in general, I'm fairly good at. It is worthwhile to remember that despite the fact that I remember all this random crap, I did forget my mother's birthday for 4 years in a row. So the worst gift that I guess I've given is the love of a son.
Oh my God! That's so,
damn.
So dramatic.
Oh my God!
Bad human.
When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Either a stand-up comedian or a paleontologist.
And you've done both! Hooray! Oh wait, no.
Exactly.
Oh God! All right. So, what would you name the biographical film about your life?
Who?
What would you name it? If you had a biographical film,
I would name it Who? Oh,
you would name it Who?
Who?
And who would write the soundtrack to the movie? What musician?
Oh, man. What musician? I don't know. I mean, if I'm just going with my favorite musicians, it would probably be Beck.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. All right, important question. Last question. Who is the best wrestler of all time?
The greatest wrestler of all time is Stone Cold Steve Austin. He drew the most money.
Get the fuck out of here. No, I'm just kidding.
I was certainly a huge fan, you know, when he was there. So, yeah, I mean, if you're trying to argue metrics, right?
Yeah,
Steve
sure.
Austin's. Probably the best. Although my favorite is certainly Mick Foley, a.k.a. Mankind.
He's good. I always had an appreciation for the weird, like, offshoots. Oh, well done. You've been successfully grilled. You've survived it.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Hall of Grilled Individuals.
Yeah, Roddy Piper was kind of my jam.
Yeah, see? How can you not be
What?
I said you can't be mad at that.
No, man, bagpipes. Like, it's the most intimidating sound ever. Why would you not enter the room to bagpipes?
I mean,
that means we're going to war.
I the hard part is that I could talk about this for longer than I should.
Yeah, let's not do a wrestling
podcast.
Jeremy,
Lenny, and I've had some debates. They're real.
Uh huh.
All right. So anyway, Grills, an honorary grill, what are you looking forward to this geeky week coming up?
I'm going to read more about Knights of the Frozen Throne, look at all the cards that they show us hopefully soon. I will be actually playing more Necromancer. I want to get my Necromancer up to 70 in Diablo so I can actually do all of the corpse exploding. It's really fun so far, but... I want to dive into the higher level play, so I'll be doing that a bit. And I will be streaming again. I'm not dead anymore. I was dead last week, so I did do a stream last night. There'll be more streaming this week, so I'm looking forward to that. I bought a bunch of weird fucking games on the Steam summer sale, so I look forward to playing some of those with people on the old Twitch stream.
Awesome. Right on. How about you, Jerry? What's up?
You know, I'm looking forward to catching up on a little TV and movies. I've yet to see Baby Driver or The Big Sick, so I'd like to see those and watch Glow. All anybody wants to talk to me about is Glow because...
Dude, I have to watch it.
And we've yet to watch it.
Every time I turn on my fucking thing, it's like, Glow, we recommend this to you. We recommend it to you. And I'm like, yes, I know. I just have to click it and watch it. So I should be watching it too.
Well, I should be doing some traveling coming up. I think I may go to Raleigh to visit with my son and take him this copy of Dice Masters that a kind gentleman gave me at Nerdtacular for his club. I'm going to donate it to the Tabletop Club. And In This Moment is playing there, and I might, you know, just happen to be in town when that's going on. I'm going to go see House of Hamel, which is an awesome band. It's the fiddler from Enter the Haggis that my husband used to be in and his wife's band, and they're going to be right here in Asheville. It's only 90 minutes away. So I think we're going to run away from home and go to the show.
It sounds like a wonderful time.
Yeah. What's the Patreon look like, Jen?
It looks awesome, guys. But it could be awesomer. It could be made more awesome. If you would like to support us, remember, again, we are wholly supported by our patrons at patreon.com/grills. We thank all of our patrons. You guys have been awesome. You keep our servers on. You keep our website going. You keep, you know, all that stuff happening. So thank you so much. We actually have two new patrons. So thanks to Jeff, a.k.a. Douche Redeemer. Oh, I'm sorry. Dark Redeemer. Yeah. And Robert Russell. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. We definitely appreciate it. Welcome to our little group of honorary grill friends. We appreciate all of you. And don't forget, if you don't have any coinage to spare, that is okay. There are other ways you can support us. We do love the iTunes reviews. They don't cost you anything, just a little bit of time. Go on iTunes, leave us a review. 5 stars, obviously preferred, but, you know, hey, whatever you can do there. It's free. It helps people find us. So please, 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 please.
And thank you to whoever did leave a 5-star rating this week. Ratings are also welcome, and you don't have to, like, think of stuff to say.
Yeah, it's easy. You just click the button.
So where can we find you on the interwebs, Jen?
I'm at The Jen Says on Twitter, streaming at twitch.tv/TheJenPlays.
And Jerry, where can folks find you?
You can find me at Justin R. Young on Twitter or twitch.tv/JustinRYoung.
And support at actionnewsgame.com.
Yes,
go.
Yes, yes.
I need more cards.
Please.
Go now. Bring your friends.
I want to make more cards.
Make more work for Jury.
Make more please. Work. Just kidding. All the work's done. But we need money to print them.
More cards.
We need money to print them.
I can be reached at 9of12, it's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game!
Good game, everybody!
Enjoyed this show and have the quill skill to shriek speech? Leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.